We welcome you to worship here at Prairie Street Mennonite Church on this very warm June morning. If you are visiting or new with us this morning, we welcome you. We are so glad that you chose to be with us. And if you are worshiping with us via podcast or the internet, or through our CD ministry because you are unable to attend, we miss you. But we feel your presence in spirit and in your prayers. Kyle Wyrick will now lead us in an opening hymn, number 43 in our blue hymnals, Christ is our cornerstone. And will you please stand if you are able? Number 43, blue hymnals. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Today we focus on the shared conviction of the Mennonite Church, which is Jesus is the Son of God. Through his life and teachings, his cross and resurrection, he showed us how to be faithful disciples, redeemed the world, and offers eternal life. Beloved brothers and sisters, let us worship our God, who loved us so very much that he sent his own Son to save and to redeem us. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come together this morning in awe of your great love for us, in awe of the incomparable sacrifice of your holy Son, Jesus, for our salvation. We are speechless in the face of such love, of such selfless sacrifice. Please accept our praise and our honor of you as we seek to grow nearer to you and more fully into the likeness of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Kyle will now lead us in some hymns of praise, and we will begin with the Purple Songbook, Sing the Story, number 38, When Jesus Worked Here on Earth. And you may remain seated. Number 38.
And then the same book, number 65. We'll sing verses 1, 2, 3 in Spanish and 4 and 5 in English.
It is now the time in our service when we confess our sins and shortcomings to God. I will lead in a prayer of confession, followed by a period of 90 seconds of silence, in which there will be opportunity to silently confess to God the sorrows and the needs of our hearts. Following this period of silence, you will be invited to stand if you are able and receive the words of assurance. Afterward, you will have the opportunity to greet your neighbors with the peace of Christ, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and responding, "Also with you." Let us pray. God, our Father, we confess to you this morning that we have not always been your people this week. In our busyness, we have not always stopped to ask your will before making decisions. In our busyness, we have sometimes failed to recognize the needs right before us in our homes, at our jobs, in our neighborhoods. In our busyness, we have sometimes failed to pray and to seek your wisdom or direction through your scriptures. Please forgive us, we pray. In our interactions with others, we have sometimes been cold or inattentive or hostile. Please forgive us, we pray. We have asked for your forgiveness, but we have failed to forgive. We have sometimes, in our weariness, not been generous with our time or our energy or our material goods or our kind and thoughtful words. Please forgive us, we pray. We are an imperfect people who seek to follow you, Lord God, who seek to make a difference in our world, yet stumble and fall short. We love you, God, and we would do better. Hear now the silent confessions and longings of our hearts. We pray all of these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Will you please rise, if you are able, to receive these words of assurance? Sisters and brothers, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has mercy on us and forgives us our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us live now as a people set free from sin, and let us share Christ's peace with the world and with one another, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you." I have a lovely surprise from my Spanish scripture reading this morning. Thank you, Wendelee. They're lovely. Children, it's now your special time in the service. Come on up. Let's talk about Jesus. What a wonderful looking group we have. We have our basket here. If you have money with you today, you can put it in now. If not, please bless it as it comes around. You want to touch that? Thank you. Okay, and let's give that to Red. Thank you. And God's going to take those blessings and the money and do wonderful things. Thank you. Here in our neighborhoods and around the world. Thank you. We're going to leave that there. That's a pretty basket, isn't it? Well, this morning, Pastor Francis is going to tell us about Jesus. And I know how very wise and wonderful you all are, and I don't need to see with these. So I want to ask you to talk about Jesus as well this morning. Now, what do we know about Jesus? Was he a real person?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. He was. He was a real person, but he lived a really long time ago. So that was before we had cameras and the internet and cell phones. And so people had to imagine what they thought Jesus looked like. And that happened all these years in between Jesus living and today. People have wondered what Jesus looks like. And some of them have painted pictures of what they think Jesus looks like. But nobody knows for sure. They just wonder in their own minds. This is my favorite picture. It was painted by a woman named Frances Hook. And the reason I like this picture of Jesus is because his eyes are so kind. And when I think of Jesus, I think of somebody that was very kind. He does look very realistic, doesn't he? Like he could walk around today. Yeah, that's a good point, Ren. Yeah. And also because he lived so long ago, we didn't have webcams and we didn't have internet or anything. And so, but back then they had sharing stories and writing things down. And so the way we know Jesus is through the stories that people told and the stories that people wrote. And the stories mainly in the back of this book, the Bible, were written by friends of his or people that lived really close to the time that he lived. And so what we know about Jesus is through stories. So I want to know, what stories do you remember about Jesus? Do they have a Jesus story for me today? The Christmas story, yeah, when he was born in the stable, yes. Very good. The fishing, you want to say a little bit more about that, Ren? You're right. He was out with some fishermen.
And then they couldn't catch any fish.
Uh-huh.
So
what did he ask them to do?
To fish on the other side.
Right. Okay. Okay.
And they catch. That's a fish.
Okay, very good. Ren's telling us the story of the time when the disciples were out in the boat and they couldn't catch any fish. And he told them to throw the nets on the other side. They had so many fish that it broke the nets. Good. Junia, do you have a Jesus story today? That's okay. That's all right. I would like you to help me with a Jesus story that I really like. Is that okay with you guys?
Mm-hmm.
All right, great. Let me get my stuff together here. Okay, I have a basket full of people here. And I would like you each to take one or two. We're not going to keep them. We're just going to borrow them. Have to put them back afterward. Okay, thank you, so that we can use them again. You can have more than one if you want, because we got a lot of them.
Okay, this is a story. Everybody got some people? Great, okay. Oh, I'm sorry, another one? Okay. This is a story about when Jesus was out teaching and telling people about God's love. And whenever Jesus did that, at this point in time, a lot of people would come out to see him because he was famous. So can we have our people come in around Jesus? Good job, good job. Come on around Jesus, and he's talking to them. And Junia, would you be our woman today in the story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was a woman, and she had been sick for a long time. And it was a sickness that was inside. You couldn't see it. It wasn't like a broken arm or being blind. It was inside. And she had gone to all the doctors. All the doctors. I see this guy's trying to see. And nobody could heal her, and she was getting worse. And she thought to herself, if I could just touch the hem, the bottom of Jesus' coat, I would be well. So, Junia, could you have the woman just sneak up through the crowd and touch Jesus' coat? Thank you. And sneak away. Okay. And all these people were around Jesus, and Jesus looked at his disciples, and he said, who touched me? Now, I think that Jesus' friends thought, oh, he must be kidding. Look at all these people. What do you mean, who touched me? And we don't know who touched you. He said, well, somebody touched me because I felt the power go out from me. And the woman was scared, you know, because Jesus was famous, and usually famous people don't like you to touch them, right? They were like, and she thought, oh, I'm in big trouble now. I'm in big trouble. And she waited for somebody to say it was them, but they didn't. So finally, the woman, can you get the woman, Junia, and bring him up? And she came up, and she was scared. And she said to Jesus, I touched you because I've been sick. And you know what Jesus said to her? He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. He wasn't mad at all. He was glad that she was well. He had healed her, and he was glad that she was well. Now, the reason I like that story is because Jesus wasn't all about himself, and he wasn't mad or anything. He was all about God, and he wanted to show God's love, and he did it really well in that story, didn't he? Yeah. Okay, please put the people back. Thank you so much for helping. Okay. This morning, we're going to have a prayer, and after the prayer, I would like you each to select a box of crayons, and Nathaniel, I have something for you. And then we have some sheets with stories of Jesus' life that you can color. I know you can do more than one thing at a time, so I know you can do this while you're listening to Pastor Francis. Okay? And on the back, it's blank. So you can draw what you think Jesus looks like, or you can draw your own story of Jesus. All right? Are there any questions? All right. If not, let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. For the way he came and he saved us and he helped us and he was so kind to people. Help us to be that way too. And we thank you for these children who show your love in their neighborhoods and in their homes and their schools. Please protect them throughout the week and bring them back safely to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can get your sheets now. There's plenty. Thank you for your help. And you may pick some crayons. And Nathaniel, that's for you.
Our scripture this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Wendelee will be reading in the Spanish, and I will be reading in the English. Following the reading of the scripture, I will say the word of the Lord, and would you please respond with, thanks be to God. And Wendelee will say, palabra del Señor, and will you please respond, gracias a Dios. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin.
Hebreos 14:16. Por tanto, teniendo un gran sumo sacerdote que traspasó los cielos, Jesús, el Hijo de Dios, retengamos nuestra profesión, porque no tenemos un sumo sacerdote que no pueda compadecerse de nuestras debilidades, sino uno que fue tentado en todo según nuestra semejanza, pero sin pecado.
Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in help in time of need.
Acercámonos, pues, confiadamente al trono de la gracia para alcanzar misericordia y hallar gracia para el oportuno socorro. Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pastor Frances Ringenberg will be sharing her message, The Human Divine Embrace, with us this morning. Will you please join in prayer for her? Lord God, we thank you for the words that you have placed in Frances' mouth and the ideas that she will share with us this morning. Please open our eyes and our hearts to receive what you have given her to share with us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. The story of the relationship between the divine and the human begins at creation. The wise ones wrote it down this way. God saying, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." And as the story unfolds, it quickly becomes clear that the image is not a perfect one and the likeness is distorted. So there among the prophets of the people, there arose a rumor. There arose a promise. A mystery of something coming to fix the world as it was. It came to be called the coming of a Messiah. And the humans believed that this would fix the world and make the world the way they wanted it. It happened a little differently. The Word became flesh and dwelt among the humans. So humankind made in God's image, now God made in human's image, but no, not made in image, but fully human. And came in order to make humans God's children, like God. It's almost funny. It's almost a riddle that God makes humans in God's image, then God comes as human in order to make humans more like God. But if it is a riddle or a funny story, it is the most holy, universe-transforming kind of humor, come to confound the principalities and the powers and the forces of evil at work in the world, because you see, evil has no sense of humor. So we come to this mystery of the human and the divine. We're in this preaching series of shared convictions of the Anabaptist worldwide community, and this final conviction is about Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. And through his life and teachings, his cross and resurrection, he showed us how to be faithful disciples, redeem the world, and offers eternal life. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus in the flesh, truly human, shows us, the humans, how to be like him. In fact, he gathers up all creation and brings us to eternal life with him, the realm of God, human and God brought together. So today we're going to look at just a modest slice, just a little bit of seeking to know Jesus. Jesus as healer. Jesus as teacher. And Jesus as friend. Each one, I think, a strong element in our Anabaptist tradition. Jesus as healer. Reading the Gospels, one frequently comes to Jesus' healing stories. His ministry begins with healing. After his baptism, coming out of the wilderness, we read, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching, proclaiming, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. They brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he cured them. More passages continue using this abundant language. He healed all who were ill. He healed them all. Indiscriminate healing, healing everywhere. We can imagine the crowds pressing close, more coming for healing, the word getting out, Jesus becoming tired, and the disciples becoming grumpy. What happened to these people? Was there something special about being healed by Jesus? Did those people live longer than average? It seems like being healed by Jesus would be a powerful treatment. But we know they eventually died of something. Did these people even come to believe in Jesus? Occasionally, we read about someone becoming a follower or expressing faith. But for the most part, there's very little suggestion that most of the healings led to belief or discipleship. How strange, really. With such a short time to accomplish the mission to change the trajectory of the universe, to redeem the world, to bring the kingdom of God, that so much time and energy was spent on sickness here or there in this person or that. Many years ago, I wrote a paper on healing, and I didn't know if I put this in the paper or not, but I had the impression, on reading the stories in the Gospels, that Jesus couldn't help himself. He had to heal. That healing brokenness and disease was the very essence, the very heart of who he was. Back when we lived in Wheaton, our son Ross took part in a program at a rehab hospital nearby, and the program was called After School in the Pool. It was an opportunity to get therapy at a good price. There were activities suited for each child, with therapists in the water moving among them. And at the end of the session, there would always be a group activity that included everyone. And I would stand by the pool, watching the splashing, laughing children, bodies often twisted, injured, all impaired in some significant way. The buoyancy of the water offering freedom, new ways to move. The spirits always seem to be high, with lots of shared encouragement. And I would stand and wonder. There seemed to be a mystery here, something going on that I couldn't quite name. I sometimes thought of our Christian belief that one day Jesus would return to earth, and wondering what it would be like at a pool like this one. All the children spontaneously healed. What a sight that would be. On my way out one day, I saw some late arrivals. I had noticed them before. They always came together. A tall girl with braids and braces on her legs, moving very stiffly, and a small boy, hunched over, always hanging on to her waist. My impression was that he was blind. That day, they were late, and the girl was striding along, arms and legs swinging widely, pigtails flying. And the little boy was towed along, hanging on for dear life. And in that moment, I thought, that's it. That's part of the mystery. That's who we all are, making the best of it, swinging along for all we're worth. Sometimes, helping each other part of the way. The laughing, twisted children in the pool showed on the outside what we all are on the inside. Broken, disabled, struggling in some way. Of course, Jesus is healer. And to heal the sick and diseased was the clearest way to be who he was, to illustrate his mission for everyone, that the bodies would eventually sicken and die anyway didn't matter. Healing was the proclamation of who God is and what God's intention is for all creation. Jesus is also teacher. And again, it's a lot of fun and interesting to watch Jesus teaching in action. Immediately, one becomes aware of a great divide. There are quite a few stories about Jesus and the Pharisees and the scribes, the teachers of the law. Now, we need to remember that these were the scholars of the day. They loved Scripture. They truly loved, valued, and held Scripture in high esteem and meant the best and had high status in the community. So often we learn early on in Sunday school that the Pharisees always end up being the bad guys. And we miss that they were respected and earnest in their work. Truly, it scares me sometimes as a pastor that in the scriptures, the learned ones who go to seminary seem to miss the point. There are many stories with Pharisees coming with questions, questions designed to trap Jesus, questions based on mental gymnastics rather than genuinely seeking understanding. And of course, they always fail miserably like the roadrunner because Jesus outmaneuvers them. On the other hand, there are the stories of the unlikely folk, unschooled, who seek and seem to get it and receive some of the most potent revelations about Jesus and God. There's the woman at the well, a Samaritan. She's not even in the approved tradition. And a woman with complications in her background. The bit about her coming at noon to the well, having had 7 husbands, you've heard the stories about that. We don't know what it means, but there's some irregularity in her story. Jesus offers her water, and she tells him that he has no pail. I think this is one of my favorite lines. It's just so hilarious. Here is the Alpha, Omega, the Creator, the Redeemer, who sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And the woman points out, you don't have a pail. I love it. But she's right. And she's engaged. She's working at understanding. And then Jesus tells her, those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. One of our most beautiful images in Scripture, given there in a dry, arid land. The woman asks her questions and truly spars with Jesus. She asks questions like the Pharisees ask questions, but she listens and learns and then is able to go back to the village so clear and so convinced of what she's learned that many others also come to Jesus and believe. The village is convinced. She gets it and speaks with authority. There's the story of Martha and Lazarus. This time it's Mary in the background. Martha knows Jesus can heal. She's seen it. And well, Lazarus, herself, Mary, the household, they are in the inner circle. And he doesn't come. She's heartbroken. Angry? Certainly confused. Weeping, gasping, head pounding, unsteady on her feet, maybe even sinking to the ground, collapsing, yet still turning to Jesus with what she does know, with all she knows. If you were here, he wouldn't have died. She still believes in his power. She's still convinced. And then Jesus gives her the words held on to through generations, the words that open many funeral services here at Prairie Street. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Does Martha know what's being asked? Does she believe this? I'm not sure she does. Or rather, I don't think she knows all that it means. But she answers with all she's got and all she knows. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. Her best translation and knowledge. And Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And then, eventually, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, all die. But we know something. We've learned from the teacher that even in death, there awaits a victory. Do we understand all of it? No. But we can be curious. We can be curious, genuine, honest. And I come to think that curiosity can't be fake. Curiosity and being honest come together. It matters to us, and when we get it, we have a powerful witness. Jesus as teacher is building relationship, introducing himself, introducing God, wanting to be known, teaching as invitation, teaching as extending the hand, teaching as welcome. Jesus as teacher speaks to all, everyone, with openness to hear good news, not dependent on knowledge or education or connections. It's interesting to note that Jesus calls the scribes and Pharisees hypocrites. Hypocrite meaning not honest, pretense, fake, not really seeking, not curious. Remember this. Reading your Bible this summer, sitting down with Jesus, be curious. Take what you do know and use it. And now, Jesus as friend. Many of you will recognize this icon from Alan Kreider's memorial service. Hopefully for those that were there, it's good to engage it again, and if you missed it, we want you to see it. It's titled, Christ and the Believer, or sometimes translated, Jesus and His Friend. This was discovered in Egypt during the excavation of a large monastery in 1900, and it is the oldest known Coptic icon, described as extremely elegant and serene. So the icon portrays two figures on the way together, and you can recognize which one is Jesus. There's a little bit of a cross in the background. And the other person identified by the writing there is the superior or the abbot of the monastery at that time. And they stand side by side, sharing the same perspective. Jesus accompanies the abbot, sharing in the journey and the burdens of his life. Jesus' arm is around the shoulder, a gentle, guiding touch. They are similar, but not the same. Christ is slightly taller. And look at the face of Jesus, how strong it is compared to the face of the abbot. His eyes are large, open, eyebrows, deep shadows, a strong look, but not severe, not judgmental, but gentle. He is looking focused, maybe looking beyond this world to the Father. One commenter described the abbot's face as flat, which sounds a little disturbing. Who wants to have an icon with a flat face? But maybe the face of the abbot is purposefully a little blank, open, so we can more easily see our face there. Just as with a gentle hand on the shoulder, Jesus guides the abbot to contemplate the wonder of the love of the Father, so he also guides us. Jesus is carrying the Word of God, the Scriptures, and we know that this is the Word that tells the story of the love between the divine and the human. God's tireless love for God's people in spite of our brokenness, limitations, and unfaithfulness. Friend, as you can see, it's a little bit hard to see, but carries a small, unopened scroll. Some say that that is the rule of the monastery, their pattern for living. But it has also been suggested that it is perhaps a symbol of God's loving but not fully revealed plan for the abbot's life. Perhaps we each have a scroll, the plan that God provides for each of us. This is the most remarkable aspect of our faith, that the divine joins the human. Maybe it is in friend that the holy and the human come together most clearly. Jesus, holy and human. And at his side, we become holy and human. And the image is restored, made whole and holy. Creation is restored, and we join in perfect company and union with the healer, the teacher, and the friend. Jesus says, "I do not call you servants any longer, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you." Let us join then in the wisdom of the writer to the Hebrews. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, our real weakness. But we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, approach the throne of grace with boldness, that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Amen.
Blue hymnal number 493. I heard the voice of Jesus today. And please stand.
In the responsive reading, I will read the regular print. Please read the bold print, and then on the italics, we will pray all together. Heavenly Father and God of mercy, we no longer look for Jesus among the dead, for he is alive and has become the Lord of life. Because of your power at work in the resurrection of Christ, we declare that Jesus is the Son of God. Because of your power at work in the resurrection of Christ, we declare that through his life and teachings, his cross and resurrection, he showed us how to be faithful disciples, redeemed the world, and offers eternal life. May the grace of God so fill us. May the love of Christ so embrace us. May the presence of the Spirit so empower us that we may live to the glory and praise of God. Alleluia. Amen.